This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network.
Welcome to Sound the Shofar. Here is a clue to tonight's study. The ever-eternal one spoke to the Jews who could not understand what he said. Before Abraham was, I am. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 29th day of April, 2016. And we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The reading in the Word this week is found in Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1, through chapter 18, verse 30, Amos chapter 9, verses 7 through 15, and the New Testament reading is found in Hebrews chapter 9, 11 through 28. Get the personal end-time e-letter from the desk of the Watchman. Hard-hitting biblical commentary focusing on prophecy news and the Word of God. Sign up from our website. Find the black tab on the left side with the green Push Me lettering. Push the tab and fill out the sign-up information there on warn-usa.com. And you can follow The Watchman and Warn Radio to get in on the latest prophecy, world events, biblical teaching, and preparation for what is coming. You can follow The Watchman at hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in The Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing all right. Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad we can be here again. Bless God for that.
I'm always glad. You're always glad.
Yeah.
Everybody knows we're always glad.
We're just happy in the Lord. We don't know any better.
Well, you know, we are happy to be here. We're glad.
I am. I'm thankful.
You know,
it's
Friday, it's Shabbat, it's the beginning of a weekend, but it's the beginning of a day of rest, which we need because we are really busy during the week. And
to the rest. But I'm glad that we still have access to the internet and we can still get the Word of God out.
Yeah. And it goes around the world this way too.
Yep. And I find it hard to believe that it's already the end of the month, that tomorrow is the 30th, the last day of the month, and Sunday will be a new month.
I know.
Astounding how fast time goes.
I know. It is. I'm with you. You know, I've been saying this for so many years, but it's just true. And, you know, when you do keep busy, you know, things go by fast. But, you know, it's just that there's a blessing involved in this. And, you know, it's just, you know, the Lord has, I don't know how to put it. He just makes it to where we can do this and blesses us and strengthens us. And, you know, I mean, the Lord is good.
Yes,
and
He
life is good. Yes, there's troubles. But, you know, we've had a lot of lot of good things from the Lord. He, I mean, he's taken care of us. And just all there is to it. And we know a lot of things could come. But, see, they don't matter right now. We take one day at a time. Tomorrow, you know, the next day, those don't matter. It's today. You know, this is what we look at. Every day as unto the Lord. You know, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You know, we don't look, you know, for problems ahead of time. We just take care of this day.
Yep, that's right, amen.
And, you know, there are problems in the world, and we know people with problems, and, you know.
Seems like they're ramping up against God's people, the problems and situations.
But, you know, I mean, I feel good, you know, and you feel good. God is good. And we're just going to keep plugging on. You know, this is what we do. And tonight we're going to be finishing up Revealing Jesus, the Father's Will, Part 5. We're in the resurrection of Lazarus, which is a great story. I just love that story. And
yeah,
see, unlike a lot of people, I believe these. You know, this is the Word of God. These things really occurred.
They did. They did, and they still do today, just like I was talking to one of the gals I work with today, and her husband got hit on the head, or he had an accident of some kind, and he got a concussion, and he's not doing very well, and he'd been to the doctor, but he doesn't want to go back, and I was talking to her about healing, and I said, God did it in the old. He healed people in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and he's still the same. He still heals today. But I said, the problem here in America and elsewhere, we've come to depend too much on our doctors, and that's why God can't. Sometimes it just doesn't happen because of that. But not in all cases.
Yeah.
Some things we have to go through.
Well, you know, Prince, who died, being a Jehovah Witness, you know, they don't do anything in the name of Jesus Christ. They don't believe in him. That's Antichrist. And, you know, so when he got really sick and wanted healing through prayer, it didn't work. You know, it's in the name of the Son of God. You know, and...
That's right.
You just can't tell people anything today. You know, everybody's an expert, you know?
Well, there's some people that will listen.
Yeah, there is. But for the most part, society doesn't want to listen.
No.
If society would have listened, we wouldn't be in the stinking mess we're in right now. But...
Oh, yes.
But at any rate, we've got, it's raining right now. It was snowing, and before that it was raining, and then it was snowing, and we got a lot of snow. We got snow up on the top. You know, we're tired of snow and rain around here. You know, the river is really, really muddy. Yeah, yeah.
Are you ignoring me? You don't want to hear that?
I know, you've told me. You know, snow tomorrow, weekend. I don't want to hear about snow. I'm done with snow.
Well,
do you hear me? Although
you may be done, but it ain't done. It ain't done, dude.
Well, tomorrow while it's snowing, We need to take some snow and throw it on top of some of our planters that I've got covered, you know, on the dirt, on the soil, because I've had it covered in plastic, and, you know, they're doing good in there. The plants are coming up, but they need a little bit of moisture, so I'm going to have to water them sometime.
Yep.
You know. So at any rate, yeah, well, you know, we're ready. Tomorrow is, let's see, tomorrow's the end of the month. Then we got May 1st. And I was thinking of the last frost-free date. And I think it's coming up, the very last day that it frosts is, I was thinking around the 20th. I've got it on my calendar somewhere. But see, I don't pay attention to that because I put everything under my own cover, and, you know, it, I'm able to do this without too much problem. Matter of fact, I even plant, I have some lettuce growing out there, and I don't even cover that because that stuff resists snow, you know. I've got, and you, this stuff, you know, you can throw snow right on the top of it, and this stuff just keeps growing. It's hardy lettuce.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
good.
Well, a lot of things, you know, you put a little snow on it and they wilt and die, you know. They're anemic suckers. Some plants
like
you can't even get to grow. But you can do kale, you know, and quite a few other, including sweet peas. You know, you can put those things out early in the year. And they do good in a little bit of chilly weather, you know, and snow and stuff. It just amazes me how this works because I got plants and, you know, you got to mess around with them. You know, you just, you know, coax them. Come on and grow. Do something.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there in the dirt, you know. But dear God in heaven, if it ain't warm, they don't come out. I've got some specialty squash seeds that I've been using. We had a real good crop last year, and boy, though, they like warm weather. So it takes a while. So I'm ready for some warm weather. I really am.
Oh, I am too.
Okay, I've got a witness. That's two witnesses. Warm weather. Let every word be established by two or three witnesses, and you and I just witnessed, okay? Warm weather.
Yeah, we want warm weather.
We want warm weather. Well, you know, they've been having, you know, snowing and all kinds of stuff in this country. I mean, all over the place. So it's, you know, we've had a lot of weather, you know, bad weather. And then down in Ecuador, of course, they had that earthquake. And I was thinking of other natural disasters. And I don't think there was, let's see, Japan had a bunch of earthquakes. They had 1,000 of them all together, this last one. Can you believe
that?
1,000 aftershocks
that
over
is
Japan.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And so, you know, Japan is right on that fault. You do the Pacific, and if you had a bowl, okay, the bowl of the Pacific, around the edge of that bowl is what we call the Ring of Fire. That's where your volcanoes are. That's where earthquakes happen. It's right on the fault lines, and that's where all the various plates come together, you know, all the way around. And so, I'll tell you, you don't want to live on those things. And we've talked about Costa Rica before, and it's a beautiful country. But they have, I forgot how many volcanoes they got down there. And I'm not comfortable with going down in Costa Rica with so many stinking volcanoes around when we're in the end of days. That seems like a very smart move. Of course, I'm living up here in Wyoming, and you've got Yellowstone, and they're always, I'm always seeing someone, oh, you know, the Lord told me, you know, the thing's going to go off or something, you know. I'm always seeing that, you know. I have it.
No, I know.
You know, I said, well, you know, I'd like to say, well, you know, I live up here, and trust me, it ain't going to go off, okay? And even the last time when they said that something was happening and all of the bison were running away, they weren't running away.
Yeah,
they weren't
running
out of the park. You remember that? And even the Park Service came out and talked about it, said there's nothing causing them to do it. They run around anyway. You know, I mean, but somebody got a hold of that, and so they started this whole thing and made the rounds. You know how they like to do. They get on Disclosed TV and YouTube and, you know, oh, the latest word, you know, we're all going to hell in a handbasket right now. It's going to happen this minute. And most of the time, they just add to the confusion, you know. And
that's
people
true.
Need to... People need to think before they start doing that. You know? I mean, I don't even listen to any of that anymore. I mean, I go through all the stuff to get our news and things, but I don't spend time. You know, there's some of the select videos I watch, you know, a lot of the videos I'll you know, well, what's this about? And I'll get on it, you know. Most of the time, the videos that I want to watch, I never watch because they're garbage.
Yeah.
You know, and just don't do it. So, at any rate, let's see. You know, we're going into this election, and the Warrior was here last night. We were talking about all this politicking. And of course, on the line is, you know, the line of what do you call it? Information is this thing on Trump, that how close he's getting, and people are starting to come around that he's going to be the eventual nominee. They think that he'll get it. I don't know whether he will or not, but they're moving away from. A contested convention. The Republicans really don't want that. And so and that's what Chris was saying, because he's going to be going to the convention. He is an alternate, and he's also something else. I forgot what it was. It's some position. I don't know what it is.
Unbound delegate?
What? Well, no.
Unbound.
He's no. No, that's what he wanted to be in. No, he's going as an alternate delegate, okay? But, no, there's something else he was talking about it. I don't know what it is. Don't ask me.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't in on that.
Well, you know, and he mentioned it, but, you know, I mean, he knows what it is. I have the foggiest idea what it is. But it's something, so he's going to go there. And it's something, you know. I don't know what it is. So he's got two things he's responsible for there, and he was filling out the Republicans, you know, when you go there, they want you to fill out all this stuff. So, you know, they want to know his viewpoints and all this stuff. So we were going through some of that. You know, it's a pain. It's more pain than it's worth. You know, and they wanted a picture of him, you know, so he put a picture with him and Ron Paul. And he got a big kick out of it. You know, because the Republicans, you know, they didn't like this Ron Paul threat. So it's kind of funny. You know, he does have that sense of humor to, you know, make them think now and again. But so at any rate, we're all going to find out what's going to happen there. It's going to be, where is it going to be at? Cleveland. And
I read another
article today. And there is a whole bunch of biker groups, there's trucker groups, and guess what? They're all for Trump. They're all going to be going into Cleveland, and they're going to be prepared to stand up for Trump. That's what they were
saying. That's funny.
Yeah. They said, if people are going to go to protest, you know, we're going to be there because we're going to stand up for Trump no matter what. So you know, it's amazing how many people are like that. But you know, he's picking up a good percentage of the vote. He's actually better than Romney, you know, in the vote totals.
Yeah.
And you know, they were comparing that Romney, I mean that Trump and Hillary, the votes that they got, she beat him in all the Eastern things. And I told the warrior, I said, well, that's a phony, you know, thing, because you know, he had a number of others that were there that were running against him. I said, you can't really do it. That's not the general election. You know, but they try to use this. Well, Hillary got this many votes through all of this, and he only got that much, so she's going to win. Well, that does not mean anything, because when you get to the general election, he can pull more votes, and you know, that is if he don't screw it up. But I don't know if he's going to get in. I'm not a Trump man, and I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat, so. You know, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say what they're all going to do, but they're sure fighting over it, and he sure turned the apple cart on a lot of people. So, you know, hey, I guess we'll find out.
Yes, we will.
And, of course, that's down in November, and I don't want to talk about November, so I don't have to get to the election yet because I want to enjoy summer. When I get to November, that means it's winter. I don't want winter. I don't want winter. I don't want winter right now, okay?
No, we're just coming out of winter. We want to enjoy the spring and summer and
fall.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah, and the fall. So we're not the least bit interested in discussing the general election and what's going to happen in November. I'm going to enjoy today. Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I don't even want to think about winter. That's a bad word. It's a bad word.
The W word.
The W word. Yeah, man. It's. Well, at any rate, there are people that like winter. You know, Jackson Hole. We get a lot of them kind of knuckleheads up there all the time, and you know, they just love it. You know, my. Some of my relatives had a KOA campground thing up here. It had a bar, a store, and what else did they have? A place for RVs. And so in the wintertime, everybody would go up there, and then, of course, in the fall, all the hunters were there. So he was busy. And he, you know, he had horses, so you could take horse and trail rides. He had snowmobiles that you could ride on. So we went up there one year and we were riding around on the snowmobiles. And, you know, people really like that, you know. And they had snowmobile races and, you know, but that's what they do up there, you know. I just soon have it nice.
Yeah, in the wintertime, I'm like an old bear. I want to hibernate.
You know, I mean, I don't want 40 feet of snow and then have the sun shining. You know, that's not my kind of nice. But people do like that, you know. They do like a lot of snow and have the sun shining.
Oh, yeah. Skiing.
Get all dressed
winter,
up.
All kinds of winter sports.
Yeah. Well, I spent a lot of time as a kid ice skating on the canals in my hometown. And, you know, we would start a little fire and we would skate all afternoon racing up and down the canals. And, I mean, it was cold. And then we had another pond that we all played hockey on. And so around us, you know, the wintertime was one of ice skates. And I never really did the skiing thing because we didn't have any place to ski. We had places to ice skate because we had the river. So at any rate, well, we're glad you joined us. We are going to be doing the study now. We've we like to have a warm-up and a chat on this because this is, you know, a little more of a relaxed program. So we're going to get into this teaching, Tower. Do you have anything you want to say before we do it?
No. Go ahead and get going.
Okay, we're going to do her. So we are in John 11. And I think we just finished that. And of course, we're not going to go through the entire thing, but within this is what we want to talk about, because this is about revealing the Lord Jesus. It was the Father's will to have him revealed as the Son of God. And of course, in John 11:25, he told Martha, you know, when he asked her, you know, he said, your brother will rise again. She says, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection day. You know, and that's, you know, that's true. She believed that. But see, he was talking about, yes, that's really going to happen, but he told her, I am the resurrection of the life and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And so when he spoke to Lazarus and told him to Lazarus come forth, which he did, he was demonstrating the fact that he was the resurrection and the life. You know, and it's a very powerful scene because he had Jews watching. And these are the kind of people that were trying to find a problem with what he was doing. And when you have somebody raise somebody from the dead, and they've been in the grave for, 4 days, I think it was, and they said, well, by now he stinketh. And so we're not going to go through all that, because our point here is the thing that he's saying in all this. You know, so they're looking on. And they're wondering, you know, well, you know, could he have not come here and done something earlier to where he, you know, he wouldn't have died? And that was the general feeling, you know, even among the apostles, that he should have hurried and gotten there so Lazarus didn't die. But see, Jesus deliberately didn't want to be there because he was going to show them a miracle they've never seen. I mean, this was planned. You know, Lazarus was going to die, and he was going to resurrect him from the dead. I mean, totally powerful here because, you know, he could have been there ahead of time, and he could have prayed, and he would have been healed. But see, we talk about healing. Tower and I talked about healing, you know, in our prelude to this. You know, it's always good to have healing. But when you're talking about the resurrection and the life, you're talking about power. I mean, more power than just mere healing, okay? And when you see someone raised from the dead, especially Lazarus, who was wrapped up and he came jumping out, I mean, good grief. You know, here, it just, all he said was, you know, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, that was it. I mean, how can he just say a phrase and this guy raises from the dead? Things don't happen like that, but it does if you're the resurrection and the life. That's the key here. And that's what he is. And that is the difference between what we believe and what many others. Now, verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into town. I guess I am going to read it because I have looked at this. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, they rose that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto the Lord, If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse in the Bible, it seems, is Jesus wept. I've heard pastors preach on this. Jesus wept. You know, and the thing of it is, the Jews said after that, Behold how he loved him. You know, and it very much could have been here that, you know, Jesus was both fully God and fully man. Now, the humanity part could have been overcome with the grief that was evident from Mary and Martha and those who were there, because they would have been there, and they would have been had people that were mourners that would come to mourn. If you don't have enough of them, you can have them. And having mourners is, you know, at one time was pretty popular. But he wept. And of course, here, and some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died? Now see, yes, he could have. But again, the point of what he wanted to do was, he didn't want to be anywhere around. He didn't want them to to even think that he might have healed him. Because if he'd have been around, they said he died, well, they could have interpreted something saying, well, he healed him, he didn't really die. He wanted him, Lazarus, to be absolutely, positively dead and in the grave and been there for a while. That's what he wanted. Because you think about the resurrection and the life. See, there's a lot of people that's died and are, you know, that he's going to resurrect. There's many he's going to call out of the graves that are going to face judgment too. And see, that's the kind of power he has. You know, now I can sit here and, you know, I'm not the resurrection and the life. I know the one who is the resurrection and the life. And I can pray for people who have died. You know, and we can, you know, and you can believe that they will come back from the dead. But in the confines of who he is, fundamentally, he wanted to be totally disassociated with Lazarus while he was dying. He wanted to stay away to prove a point. Therefore, Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, and cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Now, that's what the Lord wanted. Okay? He wanted him dead 4 days. I mean, when you put it that way, there is no way you can misinterpret that he died. Or that, you know, maybe he fell asleep. No, the stone is on it. He's wrapped up. He's been in there 4 days. You've never seen him. He can't get out. No, he's dead. And so he wanted to make sure that indeed they understood that Lazarus was dead. Because the whole thing, and even the Jews were going to be watching this, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And see, this is who our Lord is. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. And that's exactly what the Lord wanted. He wanted to show them. I mean, how can you argue with someone that you know is dead and you bring him back from the dead? See, there's no argument here. And this was the sign that he was intending to show. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we do? For this man doeth many miracles." I just love this. See, and that's really, you know, that's what the devil's saying, okay? What are we going to do? You know, he's raising people from the dead. I mean, how can we, you know, how can we fight that? He's bringing them back from the dead. I mean, we can't even kill him, for crying out loud. They die and he gets them out of the dead. You know, he resurrects them. But see, you can see the Jews that went there. And see, I said this, and I say this a lot when I'm preaching. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Because not everybody goes to hear. They go to find fault, go to catch people. And that's really what a lot of these people did, of the Jews and even the Pharisees that were there. They went there to try to catch him in a fault. And so the Jews, the ones that believe, these are the ones that really were interested. And they weren't going to prejudge him. And when they seen the miracle, that was good enough for them. However, there were others who saw the same miracle, and the only thing they could do is say, okay, we got to go back and report. They weren't interested in seeing the Son of God who resurrected someone from the dead. They were interested in seeing a usurper called Yahshua, or Jesus, as you and I know him, who is running around the countryside irritating the head priest and the Pharisees. And you know, the Lord just told him, you know, whenever they tried to catch him, he always bested them. And miracles and signs, what do you do? Again, what do you do when someone is resurrecting people from the dead? And that's what they said. What do we do? They gathered around. They had a council. You know, and you even had other Jews that believed on him. I mean, he's bringing people back from the dead, and you want to stop him. How do you stop him? Well, they found a way. But some of them, well, let's go verse 48. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. Now, see, they're still thinking of a political Messiah here, okay? Because they're thinking that when the true Messiah comes, he's going to lift Israel like David lifted Israel at the time and defeated all the enemies. And like Solomon eventually, of course, he built the temple and Israel was at its peak, its zenith, during the time of David and especially during the time of Solomon. But after Solomon, because of Solomon's sin, the kingdom was divided in half. So they are thinking political Messiah. Now see, we've talked about this in this series before. They wanted to make him a king. They wanted to, because they had seen him. This was the loaves and the fishes we did not too long ago. So the Lord went out of sight of them and disappeared, so they wouldn't do it. Because they would have taken him by force and made him a king, and he didn't want to be made a king. That's not why he came. And so this is one of the reasons they did not know who he was. They were thinking in terms of a political Messiah, the messianic regarding the state of Israel in a political way, not to take away the sins of the world. They weren't looking for the suffering servant. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "You know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. Now, you know, we don't know if he really knew what he was saying, okay? If he really understood everything that he was saying. And he, and Scripture says, "And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation." And that's exactly what he did. Now, whether he realized what he said or not, the full scope of it, we don't know. But he prophesied that the Lord would die for the people, that one man should die. That is the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. But it's not just for the Jew. To the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And not only for that nation, but also that he should gather together in one place the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should show it, that they might take him. Now that's why the Lord walked no more openly, because it wasn't his time to be taken. Now, we see this a lot in his ministry, where, you know, people want to take him, but it's not time. And see, I'm a firm believer that this same type of thing happens to the believers, that we are able to have that presence of God to keep us separated and keep us alive, even though people may want to kill us. This is very important, because we see this, you know, we see this with the Lord and how he operated, and the power of the Spirit, and the fact that he had pulled himself away and wouldn't go openly. And even though they looked for him, you know, this ability to take him prematurely was not available to them. Then in John 12:1-50, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served him, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now here's a guy that's dead, now he's alive. Then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This said he, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Oh, that's amazing. Give the money bag to the thief. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." And see, this is preparing for his burial. This is the sign of the preparing the body for the burial. So this is very prophetic here. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. See, that'll fix everything, you know, just leave it to the Jews. Yeah. The chief priests. Now, these are godly men, okay? That's what we're You know, this is a godly people. These are godly, right? Yeah, right. The head priest, you know, Jesus is going to die for the people. The chief priest, yeah, we're going to kill Lazarus too. That'll take care of the problem. So here we got people, including the Pharisees, who are plotting. And they're the ones that represent God to the Jews. Not a one of them can do a miracle. Not a one of them can raise anybody from the dead. Not a one of them can lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. All they got is religion that's dead. They've got a book that they follow religiously. But see, they don't know the Messiah. And this is sad. I mean, the people looking at him, don't you think they know that these, you know, the head of the temple is plotting to put Lazarus to death, plotting to put Jesus to death? Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. So it's Lazarus' fault, you see. Lazarus, you rose from the dead, and, you know, it's your fault, so we're going to kill you now. Because the Jews believed on Jesus because of you. It's your fault, Lazarus. Well, I can see it's my fault. I can see him trying to, you know. Yeah, I was laying on that thing all wrapped up. I was dead. I was somewhere else. I'd been in that thing for 4 days. The stone was on it. And, oh, yeah, I plotted while I was in there to raise from the dead so I could make you people mad so you could kill me again. Yeah, see, this is how stupid these people, you know. I mean, now we're talking about people that aren't dumb here, okay, folks? This is religious zeal is what this is. These people aren't dumb. They're trying to figure out how to deal with someone who's doing miracles, who they can't best, who raises people from the dead, and the people that he raises is still alive and happy and running around. People are believing on him. They want to stop him, and they can't figure out how to do it. That's the problem. Now, I guarantee you, when the apostles, you know, when the Lord went to be with the Lord, I mean, the Lord went to be with the Father, stand at the right hand of the Father. You had Peter and the boys. They were instructed to stay until Pentecost, wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. He got up and preached. And then you saw that outpouring, and you saw miracles and signs and wonders. Paul came along. He ended up getting converted, and people were getting healed right and left. This is what made the Jews mad, and this is really what prompted them to start following the early church and the people of this, that at the time they were calling it the way, of this way, to find a way to get them persecuted, to kill them, to get rid of them, and to stop them. And this is one of the reasons, and by the time Constantine came around, the Jews had been so successful in just making life miserable for the Gentile church that they didn't want any more to do with them. And that's really one of the reasons that they did away with a lot of the Jewish feasts. See, and it was that way for many years. Now, we keep the feasts because they're not Jewish. But a lot of people think they're Jewish. They're not Jewish. They're the Lord's feasts. They're the feasts of the Lord. They're not the feasts of the Jews. They're the feasts of the Lord. Sabbath isn't the Sabbath of the Jews. It's the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Sabbath. Look at the Ten Commandments. The Jews were just instructed to keep it. See, so this is where you have to understand the difference here. And so, on the next day, now this is after they're plotting about killing Lazarus too. Now, see, this is one of the biggest things you have when we talk about being popular, when you talk about preaching the Word of God, when you have a crowd that's for you. See, and it's very, very typical. You know, in 1 minute a crowd can be for you, the next minute they want to hang you, okay? Now, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, this is Passover, when they heard that Jesus was coming to town, coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And when he had found a young ass and sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Now see, that's prophecy, okay? So he's coming into Jerusalem. He's being heralded. He raised someone from the dead. He told Mary and Martha he's a resurrection of the life. You know, Lazarus is alive. They're plotting to kill him too because him being alive, you know, it's his fault. And so people, you know, are believing on Jesus because of Lazarus. So it's Lazarus' fault. But they're not going to kill Lazarus. But see, they're plotting. And so, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, well, we read that, verse 16, these things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. So these are the people that bore record of the prophecy and the prophetic things concerning Christ. Because they were there when Lazarus was called out of the grave. So we're talking about a lot of witnesses here. And these witnesses followed the Lord. For this cause the people also met him, that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And see, that's what, one minute you're really, 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 you know, popular. And the next minute they want to hang you. In this case, you know, the crowd is going to turn on him. They're going to want a thief instead of him. And this is all prophesied. He had to die for our sins. He was going to do that. And so this is how it plays out. It's the will of God. And the Lord's going to follow that cup that the Lord, the Father, has given him to do. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip telleth Jesus. Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Now, see, he's talking about being glorified, and glorified is going to be beaten, spat upon, you know, ridiculed, put on the cross, you know. Everybody's going to forsake him. Yeah. That's, you know, that's his glorification. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, I've got a lot of seeds. The seeds ain't good unless I plant them. When I plant them and take care of them, they're going to grow something and there's going to be fruit off of it. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Now see, this is what he said. Now is my soul troubled. Now see, you're going to be troubled. Your flesh, you know, your body. You know, your mind, you have all these things working. Now, when you face death, it's not easy, but he knew what he was going to be going through. And he says, What shall I say? Father, save me? See, that's, he's admitting, What shall I say? Father, save me? But he says, I came. I came for this very reason. And then he says again, Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from earth, will draw all men unto me. Now that is the beginning. That is the gospel. He'll be lifted up on the cross. He will die. He'll be resurrected from the dead. He'll be seen alive by many infallible proofs and witnesses. He will leave instructions for the early church. He will ascend to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. And so, that's the gospel, if I be lifted up, which he was. The judgment of the world, the prince of this world, the devil, has been cast out. What? He's been cast out of heaven. He doesn't have a say-so there anymore. And, you know, this is the thing. He triumphed openly over the enemy. And this is the reason, folks, that you have redemption through Christ. Because he chose to do that. That's why the Lord, you know, his Father, chose. It was his will to have the Lord revealed as such. Because he was going to be the one that was going to die for the sins of the people. See, this is paramount to what we believe, who we are, how strong the victory is. You don't understand, really, how much of a foundation you stand on right now. See, religions in the world have no foundation. They have just a religious offering that mean nothing in eternity. But the Lord physically took care of this according to the law of God. You know, the law says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And it was the sinless Son of God who died, and it took his blood to permanently bring that. See, now that is the hope. That is revealing Jesus, revealing Yahshua. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, see, they believed the Messiah was going to live forever and ever and ever, you know. And, of course, he's going to be there for the millennium. And he's going to raise Israel out of the dust. But, see, Israel fundamentally absolutely missed the suffering servant, the Passover lamb. They missed Pentecost. You know, the very feast that they kept, they missed the types, what these feasts actually represented. Because they came through revelation. That's the important thing. I know this stuff because God revealed it to me. I don't know this stuff because I'm brilliant. I know this stuff because God's revealed it to me. When I keep the feast, I know what they represent because the Lord has revealed it to me. He died on the cross. I knew he was the Christ. I knew he's the Son of God because God revealed it to me. See, it's revelation in the hearts of men. This is why God wanted him revealed. So that you and I might be saved. That the devil would be permanently torn from his pole of power and thrown to the dust. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whether he goeth. And see, that describes the Jews, because they really didn't understand what was going on. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. Now he's telling them to believe on him. See, and they're just asking him questions, and he's saying, you need to believe in me. You saw that I raised Lazarus from the dead. I told you I'm the resurrection and the life. I've told you these things. Now you have to say, I want to believe. I believe this stuff. See, you have to mix, you know, and he said this early on in his ministry. He said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The Jews missed the spirit part, the life part. And you got to mix the words with faith to understand these things. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You see, that's the problem. They couldn't believe. Now, Paul pointedly says the Jews require a miracle or a sign, and the Greeks, knowledge. You know, you speak to them from knowledge, you know, try to impress them that way. But that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. This is how detrimental the division was. You could believe, but you better keep your mouth shut. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Now he's equating himself with the Father here. This made him mad before, where they wanted to stone him. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, folks, listen to these words. These words are still as potent as they were the day he spoke them. You can come to know this Savior. This is the true Savior of the world. Now, you see, although Isaiah said those things, and many of the, you know, of the Jews who were rulers in the synagogue and et cetera, couldn't believe on him. You know, they did have this prophecy that God had blinded their eyes, yet there were many that believed on him. They weren't in the synagogue. They weren't the high priest. Many of them were the poor and the sinners, the people who he ministered to. God had mercy on them and opened their hearts. You see, Scripture does see not many noble, not many mighty, not many wise are called. But God has chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith. Make no mistake. When you are down, you don't have all the influence and all the money and all this and all that, and you see some guy comes along and he's giving you love and he heals your body and you see miracles, you're going to believe on him. Because you're not like the others, because you have nothing. And when you have nothing, when anybody does something, that's fine. You're going to believe. You're going to follow him. Now, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now, folks, I saw the light, and so did Tower. I don't abide in darkness today because of the Lord. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See, so while he won't judge him, the word itself will judge and find you guilty. This is very important. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak, and I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. These are amazing scriptures in John. Now in John 13. Now this is the portion that I do want to read. Let me look to see where I'm at. I do want to do that one, and I do want to do that one, because I'm going to finish this study, and I've got 23 minutes. I'm going to because these things are so great. I mean, there's so many of these. Let's go, we're going to go down to John 14. I love this. Many times I'll sit and these scriptures will come to my mind. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know who he's speaking to? You. You. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Oh, praise God. Now, you see, while I tell you that the rapture isn't going to happen the way y'all think it's going to happen, I never said he wasn't coming back. I've said the opposite many times. While he prays a prayer in John, I think 16, that he says to the Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but keep them from the evil. See, the Father's not going to take you out of the world in any rapture right now. Okay? Not ahead of time. Because the Lord prayed that. Father, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but keep them from the evil. But see, at the same time, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. Why would you do that? Because in my Father's house are many mansions. In other words, there's a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you so. If there's no room at the end, I would have told you. But there's plenty of room. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Oh, I love that. He's preparing a place for me. Now, see, I believe this stuff. The Spirit of God moves in me. God said that my spirit will bear witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. So when I get to speak in these scriptures, the Spirit of God bears witness with me. Oh, I get excited because he's preparing a place for me, but not just me, for you too. Why? Why is he going to do this? So that where he's at, you're going to be. And he says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, see, earlier he had told the Jews that I'm going to go and you can't follow. You don't know where I'm going. That's because they didn't know the Father. They wouldn't believe on him. You see, it takes belief. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? Jesus says unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You're not going to take the road to Pittsburgh to get to heaven. Now, you can get killed on the way to Pittsburgh and wind up in heaven. But the way is the Lord. I am the way, the only way that there ever is going to be. I am the truth, the only real truth there is in this world. And I am the life, the true life that goes beyond death. I am the resurrection and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. If you don't have me, you will not have the Father, and you cannot have the Father without me. The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, this is revelation. This is revealing Jesus. This is revealing Yahshua. This is why most of the world misses it. This is why, you know, even Paul said this. He says, when I leave, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. Well, you and I sit here today, and many grievous wolves have entered in. And you see the big religions that these flocks have now, and they're false. They're not going to get in. There's one way, baby. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, saith the Lord. Amen. He said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know me and have seen him. And here's Philip again. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? Now, I've told you before, I've sat down and debated with pastors, one in particular, about 3 hours worth, standing behind his restaurant, about the Trinity, about, actually it was more about the Father and the Son. You know, because he used to believe that there was a Father and a Son, then he came to believe and told his people that he'd been teaching them wrong, and that there is only the Lord. He is both the Father and the Son. That is stupid, to put it bluntly. That's idiotic. That's not even scriptural. You know, and I have told you a lot of this stuff. When he was, you know, being baptized by John, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. That's one. The Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That's another witness. And the Lord was standing there himself getting baptized. Now, if the Lord is both the Father and the Son at the same time, I mean, there's not two distinct entities, then the Lord was throwing his voice to convince everybody that he was the Father, that there was a Father up there. No, that's ridiculous. And as I have covered extensively in Scripture, you know, and I don't know where this pastor was, how these guys, you know, and the basis is they don't pray like they should, they don't fast like they should, and they don't get into the Word like they should. They read it, but they don't read it. Because you can't separate in Scripture our gospel, the Father from the Son. There is both of them, and it's a relationship. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Now see how stupid it sounds if there's not a Father and a Son, but he's both of them at the same time. In other words, there is no Father, it's Jesus, and the Father got down and came down as Jesus, and he went back and became Jesus and the Father both at the same time. No, that's not. There's a Father in heaven. There's always been a Father in heaven. And him and his Son was in the beginning together, period. And it's been that way since before eternity. You see? And this is what he's trying to say. what he is saying. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Not because I am my Father, and I'm going to go sit on a throne. Now that I've died on the cross, I'm going to go back and get on my throne, and they're going to call me the Father, but I'm also going to be the Son. No, 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 no. That's ludicrous. But see, you know, people that don't want to hear the truth will hear anything that they want. See, but the point here, folks, greater works than these shall he do. Who? Who's he? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do. Who? The one that believes on him and on the works that the Lord did. They represented, they were works. They revealed that he was the Son of God. It says, greater works than these shall he do. But see, we haven't really seen that on a regular basis as we should have. But I believe we will. That's why I tell you that this end days is going to be supernaturally charged with miracles, because there's going to be a group of followers who will believe no matter what, and they will have greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, the Lord said. That is a promise, and it's going to be fulfilled. Now, the question of it is, are you going to believe in order to have these things follow you? Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, dear God, there you go again, keeping your commandments. Oh, I'll tell you, the church don't like that. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. See, these are great scriptures. Now let's go to John 15. I wanted to make sure to get through this in the end. I am the true vine, and my Father's a husbandman. You see, there you go, Father and Son. The other one had the Father and the Son. Everywhere you go, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's the key. You want to do greater works? You want to see these signs? You have to abide in him. His words abide in you. If you love him, you keep his commandments. You ask what you will, and it'll be done. Remember, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You're going to bear fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. See, this is how this happens. You can't go willy-nilly out in left field by yourself and thinking you're the Son of God. You're not. He's the Son of God. He's the power. You're the one that's following him. See, that's how this works. Now, see, in John 10, these things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. See, he tells us a lot of things ahead of time so you know them, so you won't be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father or me. Now, you see, in Mexico, we've been talking about the Mexican Inquisition against Protestants. Now, these Mexicans have religion. They have the Catholic Church, they got the Pope, they got the saints, they got the idols in their church. But they're willing to kill Christians who know the Lord. They're willing to persecute them. And what does it say? They'll put you out of the synagogues. Well, in this case, they're going to put them out of the city. They're going to put them out of everything. And they think they're doing their God a service, their church a service, when they're doing that to them. You go over in India, the Hindus are doing the same thing, only instead of Catholics, it's Hindus. And they're doing it to Christians and killing them. You go on over to Pakistan, instead of the Hindus and the Catholics, it is the Muslims that are doing it. You see, this is what's happening in the world. The devil is making a war, and Christ told us that they're going to come after you. Make no mistake, it's going to happen. But we've overcome the world. If you go further on down, he says, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. This is the Holy Ghost. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, this is why we have the Spirit of God. Now, see, he's your Comforter. He will comfort you. He will teach you. He will be with you. But he, it says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. He will expose the sin of the world. He will tell it about true righteousness and judgment. He will show what is truth and of sin because they believe not on me. Even today, people don't believe. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. That's the thing. Satan is judged and his minions are judged. They've lost. This is the battle in the world. The true battle. And if you go down from John 10, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now in John 17, and you go down to verse 14. And I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, that's the believer, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. See, the evil is the devil and all of his minions and those who want to do evil to you. This is the one scripture that you can use as a promise. He prayed that the Father would keep you from the evil. And you can pray that and believe that. See, that's the important thing. Revealing Jesus, Yahshua, knowing who he is. And most of that knowing is having ears to hear on our part. The Father revealing it to us. And us believing, mixing that word with faith. The world, we're living in a time when the world doesn't want to believe. But there will be people that will still believe. And there will be those groups, as I've said earlier, that will cast you away from themselves. Out of their churches, out of their synagogues, out of this, out of that. They haven't known the Father. They haven't known the Son. They don't know him at all. They think they're doing God a service. and they're going to come after you. The Lord told us, he said, beware of men, for they shall deliver you up. You got to be very careful in these end days, exactly who you're talking to, what you're doing. You got to be careful. You just don't go willy-nilly out without praying and fasting and understanding what is going on. You need to be smarter spiritually. You need to understand these things. Father, we thank you for your word tonight for this series, Revealing Jesus, the Father's Will. Father, let this word enter into the hearts of those that hear it. Let them believe. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, from any of those who receive this word. You get your hands off of them. In Jesus' name. Father, bless them so they hear. Help them to put faith with the word that they have heard. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are... That was a long series. Because it took us a while to get through that. There was a pile to get through, but I'm glad we did get through this. I was wanting to get through it tonight. Sometimes it gets a little difficult to get through all of that, and I put entire contexts down there, and I don't always want to read all of them. There's certain verses that I'm looking at when I do that. But you can find all of this series over on the sites. Okay, Tower, you can come back. Over on the websites, warren-usa.com, warren-radio.com. Now, we have a lot of our old stuff, our other teachings, up in the nav bar, but you can do a search on our site, and you'll find any one of these things. So, are you back, Tower?
I am. I could have listened to more of that and more of that. That's really encouraging and comforting, you know, to go over the Word of God and its truth and its life. And He's always with us, no matter what we're going through. We can depend on
Him. Well, you know, that's true. And all of that, a lot of that today was out of John. And when John put that together, he put it together to reveal, you know, the Messiahship, the Christ, who he really was with the Father. And it's just a ton of nuggets, just gold and diamond, you know. It is rich, rich, rich.
Oh, it is. Amen.
And when you think that the religious of their day were plotting to kill people, I mean, dear God in heaven, you know, that's, you know, how can they be, you know, religious? How can they be leaders of the Jews and plot to kill?
Oh, I know. They're murderers.
But that's the way it was. But it's an amazing thing. And I thank God we know the Lord and that we have Him for these end of days.
Oh, me too. I can't even imagine living in this world the way it is without Him.
Yep, that's true. Well, we're going to have to close the show out. We got 44 seconds, 43 seconds. But, so say goodbye.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you and we pray for you.
Yes, good night, everybody.
We appreciate you.
We thank you for joining us tonight. We'll see you next week.
We truly appreciate each and every one of you.
We thank you for joining us today on Warren Radio. the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.